CliffCentral.com. On the line is the News 24 editor and author, someone we've spoken to a few times. He has a great take on things. He's able to distill the information and hand it over to us in the most succinct possible way. He is Adrian Basson. Good morning, Adrian. It's nice to talk to you. Let me go to you here. Oh, there we go. He's gone. Dear. Try again, Amanda.
Oh, dear.
Well, it wasn't. It would have been nice to talk to you, Adrian.
Maybe he's talking to us in Morse code.
Yeah, maybe. By the way, guys, the entire update this morning with Adrian Basson will be in Morse code.
Thank you.
Okay.
Yes.
Tip tip tip
really?
Yeah.
Great views.
Thank you very much, Adrian. That was nice.
An amazing point.
And I'm so glad that we all know how to decipher Morse code, because that's critical.
Obvious. Hello, Adrian. Can you hear us?
Hello, Gareth.
Ah, here we go. Sorry, I thought our phones were, turning on us like the ANC turned on the president. So, I mean, it's fair to say that because the numbers were not as overwhelming as the ANC thought, and they obviously weren't as good as the opposition parties thought. But in a way, this is exposing the cracks in the ANC. Is that right?
Absolutely. I think it's untruthful to try and downplay this. Gareth, before the vote, on Tuesday evening or Tuesday late afternoon, we only heard people like Derek Hanekom, Makosi Kosa, Mondi Gungubele, and there were only like three of them that openly stated they would support the motion. Even Pravin Gordhan didn't say in public what he would do. I don't think the ANC expected, let's say, mid-30s. That seems to be the number that's going around. Of the ANC MPs to vote for the motion. Of course, the opposition would be disappointed. The DA and the EFF have been working for months to convince ANC MPs behind the scenes to vote for the motion, but they couldn't get to that magical number of 50.
All right, so first of all, Julius obviously had a lot of people lying to him because he was convinced that he'd spoken to over 50 MPs who had all pledged that they would support him. So Julius's word is worth less than it was this time last week.
Yes, well, I think a lot of things happen. Politics changed the force in South Africa. So I think what the ANC did very well on Tuesday was to couch this in as a motion for regime change. I mean, you would have heard ANC speaker after ANC speaker talking about regime change, that this is actually a plot by the DA to unseat the ANC, not only President Zuma. And that would have scared any ANC MP or councillor, whoever, because that means you lose your job. So, you effectively lose your livelihood. And the DA subsequently, with their press conference yesterday, strengthened that view that actually they want to remove the ANC government. And this is where the opposition relationship is becoming interesting, because the EFF definitely was only gunning for Jacob Zuma. They do not want to collapse the government at this stage. So I think the ANC succeeded on the day and in the days before to spin that very cleverly about that it was regime change, it's not really about Zuma, it's not really about state capture. And I think ANC MPs who may have previously considered voting for the motion may have changed their views after the DA changed each tune that said this is not really only about Zuma but about the whole party.
What about the fact that these 30-odd ANC MPs voted for the motion? Do you think there'll be a witch hunt in the party now for these people?
I'm pretty sure there's going to be some form of witch hunt. It's obviously going to be difficult to pin them down. But I'm sure there's obviously already suspicion in the caucus of who they may have been. It's going to be difficult, Gareth, to take action against them. It's easy to discipline two or three people, but it gets very tricky when you get to 35 and it may or may not include people like Pravin Gordhan. Then it becomes a real, difficult one. And people like Ben Chirok and others have said that there's no way that the ANC could discipline its members for how they voted. The ANC itself, before the vote, said that they would not discipline their members. Of course, they could change that view. But it's going to be difficult. How do you do that? Do you ask people to put their hands up if they voted. I mean, that was exactly the point of having a secret ballot. So, this is going to cause massive friction and distrust and mistrust inside the ANC caucus and inside the NEC, and it definitely gives impetus and some form of support for those people wanting Jacob Zuma out in December at the ANC conference to say, look, there are people willing to put their livelihood on the line.
Now, a lot of people are talking about how this lays it bare that the ANC is disintegrating or very much splintering. How does this affect the various candidates for ANC president? How does this affect their campaigns, particularly Nkosi Sanat Lamini Zuma?
Yeah. Look, we must also be honest. So they were about 384 MPs in total in the House on Tuesday. The motion against, or the vote against the motion received 198 votes. So there's still about 200 MPs, of which most by far would have been from the ANC. I would be surprised if more than five or so were opposition MPs. So there was almost 200 MPs who voted against the motion. And about 30-35 who voted for the motion from the ANC rank. So by no way is we close to a split in the ANC, even in caucus, or a overwhelming number of MPs who is willing to defy the party line. And the ANC is very good at closing ranks when the party is threatened, when there's some kind of common enemy identified that wants to undermine the party. In this case, it was regime change. That was the common enemy. Mm-hmm. And then the party is very good at closing ranks and protecting its own. I do think this is a matter of real concern for President Zuma and his anointed candidate, Nkosazana Dlamini Zuma, or as the SABC called it this week, Mini Zuma. I don't know if you saw that.
I did see it. Yeah.
Because it shows that there are actually MPs who dare to vote with the opposition. That's as bad as it got.
Yeah.
Is it enough to make Cyril Ramaphosa sleep well? I don't think so. I think he's still got lots of work to do. He has to make sure he split those big provinces, KZN, Mpumalanga, Free State, and Northwest to a lesser extent. If those provinces were voted blocked, I cannot see Ramaphosa winning in December. But we are hearing increasingly that he's in talks with, for example, Mpumalanga, Didi Mabuza, which means he also realizes that in the real world of dirty politics, you have to make deals with devils.
Yeah.
And that he can't only run the speaking campaign as he maybe would have liked to.
What do you think the next step for the ANC is going to be after this? Because there must be lots of people asking, well, what the hell's going on here? How do we fix this?
I think we might see some changes. There's some rumors, Gareth, about some deal that were made with Zuma. I don't have proof of that yet say it as a fact, but there's some rumors of a deal made with Zuma that he must fire Musubenzi Zwane and some other ministers at least. And that he must step down himself within the next few months. I'm struggling to see that happening. I think President Zuma, definitely knew what was going to happen. I wouldn't be surprised if he actually knew before the secret ballot was announced that the ballot won't succeed. I think as these revelations of state capture comes out, 2 days ago we heard that the Gupta family paid for Zuma's wife's house in Montclair, Pretoria. That money that was laundered through Dubai was used to pay for that. As these absolute devastating allegations come out by the day, it will weaken his position. The ANC must realize that the chances of electoral defeat now becomes very real in 2019. The ANC is in a catch-22 year. They have to kind of grab the party from Jacob Zuma and cleanse itself from state capture. But they're also kind of caught in this grip, in this fear of Zuma, who allegedly has files on all of them, who still has the support of the majority of the NEC. So it's a very messy organization. It's definitely not a cohesive organization. And it's definitely not one way of thinking what to do next.
Is government a little paralyzed at the moment? Is there nothing happening in government right now? I mean, we hear about various departments that are just in complete lockdown. There's nothing happening, no money spent, no money brought in. It seems to me like government is paralyzed. Do you think that's a fair thing to say?
No, that's a very good question. I mean, I think that's something which we must investigate more, because there's definitely a massive amount of resources and time spent by politicians and ANC apparatchiks in the state at the moment campaigning for December, you know, for one of the, I mean, how many candidates do we have now, 7 or 6?
Right.
And, I mean, there's, I think that's a very fair point. I don't know about you, but I, for example, haven't seen the new acting police commissioner, Jan Motiba is his name. I haven't seen him in weeks or even since he's been appointed. I don't know what he's up to. I mean, he hasn't really addressed the nation on anything. He hasn't spoken about any plans for the police to maybe investigate state capture, you know, for example, or maybe Mduduzi Manana. Sean Abrams has been missing in action.
Sean Abrams may as well be dead. We haven't heard from him in months.
Well, maybe the police commissioner is dead too. So.
Yeah.
No, I mean, it's, you know, we're joking, but I mean, it's serious matter, and I think definitely one worth of investigating. Look, obviously the, you know, the rubbish bins are being removed from the streets, so, but you know, in terms of big macro planning, in terms of economic planning, we're in deep economic troubles. We're in a recession. Job losses aren't recovering. Big companies like Pick and Pay and others have recently announced they will lay off thousands of more workers. So economically, we're in deep, deep trouble. And we're just not hearing any plans from government. What we are seeing is a party at war with itself, fractured and only focused on getting those votes in December.
All right. Well, thank you very much for your analysis. It's always good to talk to you, Adrian. And I'm sure there are many fun and exciting weeks ahead for someone in your position.
Yeah, it's great to be a journalist in these times.
Isn't it? I mean, it's exciting, right? There's so much to talk about. It's not like you ever wake up in the morning and go, uh-oh, we're going to have to go and dig around for some story about someone who was mauled by a some tiny carnivore somewhere in the Free State. There's always something to talk about.
Or a bridge that collapses.
Well, that is kind of a big story, too, but we'll get onto that one other day soon. Thanks for talking to us this morning.
Thanks, Gareth.
And have a good two-day week, what's left of it.
Thank you.
Thanks, man. Yes, there we go. Adrian Basson, who's the editor of News 24, also an author, and we've spoken to him many times on the show. Thought we'd get him to fill in this morning for Justice, who is off to England, apparently. CliffCentral.com